Tom Callahan, Jay Levin back here with you. Talking Puck, we're going to do this and actually release it on the day we actually do it instead of doing it one day later. Earlier today, we put out the Central Division playoff preview. Now we're going to go look at the Pacific Division, which, Jay, this year features a crossover team, Nashville's own Predators, heading over to take on the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, the Pacific Division playoffs, they're interesting to look at. It's the three California teams and then Nashville getting pushed over from the Central Division there. Means locally here in Nashville for the Predators, it means a lot of travel if they're gonna get out of that quad for the bracket and make their way into the conference finals. But I'm sure that they would gladly take that if it comes through to fruition.
Well, you look at that, and I suppose it's kind of the Dallas complaint, isn't it, where Dallas is in the Central Time Zone. They were complaining about it for years and the fact that they had to go over and play West in the division all season long. The closest team to them was Phoenix, now Arizona, and so that was not the best setup for them. But now the Predators, I mean, this is, I know everybody wants to move from L.A. to Nashville right now, but this is going to be a little difficult on them. However, one of the things that I think Nashville has on its side is that little bit of history in which Nashville has beaten Anaheim head-to-head in the playoffs before. Yes, it's two completely different teams now, or at least, well, the Preds are different. The Ducks actually have a bit of a similar lineup, some of the names that are still there, but it's a different situation going in. And I'm looking at this Anaheim Ducks team as one that started so poorly this year, had such an awful beginning, and picked it up at the end of the year. We remember last time these two teams played, the Ducks were the hottest team in the NHL, had to win like 14 of the last 15 to get in. Well, not to get in, but to jump over the Preds. They did. Home ice, fourth place. And then Nashville knocked them out in six. I think it's different this year. I think having Kessler and Bieksa makes a difference for this Ducks team and changes them a little bit. They're grittier. They're angrier. They play more physical. I think this is going to be a really tough matchup for the Preds.
I agree with you. Anaheim is playing at appears to be playing at a different level this year. But this is a Nashville team that feels very comfortable going into Anaheim and playing in that environment. Both from the playoff series, regular season, they've played the Ducks well. I know that this is a different Ducks team now than at the beginning of the year, but I think inside the locker room, I think that Nashville has a lot of confidence that they could go in and that they could play their game and stay with the Ducks throughout the series here. The interesting thing for me, again, is going to be taking a look at the goaltending. Pekka Rene seems to be much more of a proven commodity. He's got a lot of playoff experience. He's been the backbone for the Predators for several years now. Anaheim, the pedigree of those two goaltenders is very solid, but until they prove it, until they get through playoff rounds, there's always going to be a little bit of that question mark.
I agree 100%. I think Anaheim, the goaltending is going to be suspect until proven otherwise, and I have complete confidence and faith in Pekka Rinne that he's put it together. I think he'll be fine coming into the playoffs here. That's really my, if there is an Achilles heel for me with Anaheim and the way they've played, it's whether or not they're going to get goaltending that will be quote-unquote good enough to get them through.
The other thing I want to take a look at in this series is who does Nashville use to match up against that big Getzlaf Perry line? I don't know that you want Ryan Johansson going up against them for 18, 20 minutes a game. You really, in my opinion, you want to free Johansson up to be much more offensive-oriented. I don't know that Mike Ribeiro is defensive-minded enough to be able to play those type of minutes. When you start looking then, can Mike Fisher's line do that? That's putting a lot on Colin Wilson's shoulders on the defensive end. Can Paul Gostad, can his line chip in and play some minutes there? That's going to be one of the matchups that I'm going to be interested to see where Nashville decides to go with that.
Well, and I'll take that because you're talking about some, offense versus defense here through the forwards, but even the defensive depth, I'm interested to see how well Nashville holds up if they end up with any sort of injuries or bumps and bruises, and let's face it, everybody's got it this time of year. They're probably isn't a better 1-2 pair in the league than Weber and Josi. But beyond that, that's where I worry a little bit for this National Hockey Club, is that they're going to have the defensive depth to get them through, to play a tough style, to be able to handle the weight from a team like Anaheim. And that's where I think Anaheim can benefit from the style they play against the Preds. I just really wonder, 3-6, are the Predators constructed to be able to handle the physical attack of the Ducks for a 7-game series?
And, of course, the other thing in playoffs always tends to be special teams. Anaheim, as we know, best special teams team in the NHL this year. Can Nashville avoid taking dumb penalties? Can Nashville's power play click against them? You know, those, I think, will be some other, like, sub-stories that go on through this. But the other series in the Pacific, I think, is really interesting as well. The California matchup there between LA and San Jose. What are your takes on the series?
Well, Jay, when I look at this series, I think that one of the things between the Sharks and the Kings that intrigues me, that really catches my attention, it's the game within the game, the matchup between Anze Kopitar and Jumbo Joe Thornton. And looking at this, these are both the marquee superstars, I think, at least among the forwards. For the Kings, you've got Quick and Goal. We'll come to that. But these are the guys who need to make the impact, and they can, and they have made the impact for these hockey clubs. And Kopitar is a guy who, if he's going to be out there and be able to set up some plays, maybe score some goals, chip in, kind of lead by example. The Kings, in their cup runs, have had that depth, but the most important guy to me is Thornton. If he's going to have a good series, he can be an impact player. He's not only a guy who's a setup guy, and I think a lot of people look at the assists he puts up, and that's kind of where the thought process ends, but he's also a very good defender. He's also a very good puck possession guy, and if he can keep the puck away from the Kings, no matter who's out there on the ice opposing him, I think that gives the Kings the Sharks a very good shot at being able to advance. But if they're going to do it, Thornton's got to have one of the best playoff series he's had in recent memory.
I agree with you. I think Joe Thornton is going to be very important to this series. I think Brent Burns is going to be extremely important on the San Jose side as well. I also agree with you that Anze Kopitar has to have an impact for the Kings. I think, though, that there's less pressure on Kopitar because I think the Kings just have a little more depth. And we've seen it through their long playoff runs in the past couple of years, where they seem to be able to roll those four lines. You know, and this year they've got a guy like Vincent LeCavalier playing in a third, fourth line type of role, who's big, he's playoff tested, he's had success in playoff runs in the past. You've got a guy like Marin Gaborik back skating with them now. Whether Gaborik's able to go early in the series, I guess, you know, it's probably questionable, but, you know, it sounds like there's a chance that Gaborik, the longer the series goes, might be able to make an appearance maybe in, like, games 5, 6, 7. There's just a different level of depth, in my opinion, on the LA side than there is for San Jose right now.
I mentioned the goaltending. I want to get to that, if we can go ahead and quickly get to that. Jonathan Quick is a guy who, I don't care who runs out there for the Sharks, doesn't matter to me. I mean, obviously they've moved on from Antti Niemi, and I was never a huge Niemi fan. Jones is going to get the start in game one for the Sharks. But out of every goaltender in the playoffs, I think Quick, for my money, is the money guy. He's the one who can steal you a game, steal you a series, and he's the one that I look at as, you know what, if anybody's going to get hot and lead his team somewhere, he's the guy to beat.
Yeah, he's one of those goaltenders. It seems like you see one every 10, 12, 15 years who, until their team is eliminated from the playoffs, you pretty much take a look at the bracket and say, that's the guy who I'm going with. You know, we saw it, Patrick Waugh, especially early in his career. We saw it, Marty Brodeur, saw it with some Dominic Hasek. You know, you take a look at the playoff matchups and you say, man, I can't pick against that team until someone else shows me that they could beat that goaltender four different games. I think Jonathan Quick is in that range right now. So for me, until a team shows that they can beat Jonathan Quick four games in a short series, I've got to go with the Kings. I think that this is going to be a real tough, tight, physical playoff series, but I've got the Kings getting through there. Similarly, I think the Predators and Ducks, I think that's going to be a long series as well. I think at the end of the day, though, Anaheim with the home ice advantage, I think sneaks through there. So I see Kings, Ducks, and again, I've got to stick with Jonathan Quick there. So I've got the Kings getting out of that quadrant. What are your projections for that quadrant of the bracket?
Well, I've got the Ducks going all the way to the Stanley Cup Final this year, and I still haven't decided whether or not I'm going to pick them to win it or not. But I've got that Florida-Anaheim Stanley Cup, which is obviously the NHL's marketing dream. So Ducks are coming out of the Pred series for sure, and they'll beat whoever they end up facing in the next round. While I think it's probably going to be the Kings, I'm going to pick the Sharks. Number one, because I have not picked the Sharks in recent years for any reason. I've been saying they should blow this team up for the last 3 years, and they haven't done it. They've just been flameouts in the first round for a lot of those just playoff tries that never seem to come together. But this year, they seem to have it together. I don't know why. It's a different team. They're playing with a little more, as Barry Trotz used to say, joy in their game. They seem like they're having more fun with it, coming to the rink. They like it, and the team seems to be gelling at the right time for whatever reason. I don't know why this year is the year that that's happening for them, but at the end of the day, I think that the Sharks may just get past the Kings this year. That's if Jonathan Quick doesn't steal this series for the Kings. I feel like the Sharks might have a chance to make a little bit of a run.
Well, I mean, one thing, if day one of the NHL playoffs is any indication, we're going to be in for a heck of a ride over the next 2 months. So looking forward to catching up with you as we get through more of these games and kind of seeing within the next couple of days where these series start to lead.
Absolutely. Jay Levin, Tom Callahan, this is Talking Puck.